Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Bean.
Well, that was quite a way to start the show today. I was just not expecting to walk in on two people riding on their bikes while on the radio. I'm very impressed with Hannah Stanley.
Breaking new ground here on 720 WGN. We're just doing a regular show. There will be no bicycles, although we do have a one-hour Blackhawk special. Welcome into The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. You're Adam Hogue.
Absolutely. We got some baseball. We got to catch up on some baseball because yesterday we were wall-to-wall NFL draft on a very important day for the Chicago Bears. We will sprinkle in some more draft talk in the next couple hours. And then at 5 o'clock, as Mark Carmen alluded to, we have a full hour Blackhawks special for you, recapping the season. We know it didn't end the way Blackhawks fans were hoping with another Stanley Cup, but still a fun season, fun series against the Blues, even though the Blackhawks were on the short end of it. And we will recap the entire season with a very fun special for you from 5 to 6.
And quickly, just to get you up to date on the scores from today, the St. Louis Blues. Right now, the Blackhawks will be playing game one
Is it game two?
Maybe playing game two in Dallas, where the Stars lead the series one game to none. But the Blues are leading 3-1, end of one. So
who won on Friday? Like, here's my brain is still in draft town. I have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world, except for with the Cubs and White Sox. I have done my homework. I did watch some baseball last night, thank God. But I have no idea who won game one between the Blues and the Stars on Friday night.
That would be the Stars.
Okay.
One game to none lead coming into today, and we also have a little bit later today for you hockey folk, the Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks. That's coming up later tonight. There's actually a Game 7 in the NBA Finals tonight as we really give you everything that's going on with the Pacers and the Raptors. And if you're curious what's going on with the baseball today, and we know that you are because this is really the capital of the country right now, the White Sox on top of the Orioles, 6-1, top of 8.
World Series!
White Sox will be 18-8 if they don't blow a 5-run lead. And the Braves have a 3-0 lead on the tremendous Chicago Cubs in the bottom of the seventh, but we all know the Cubs are going to come back and win that game.
I know that's where you want to start with the Cubs, but maybe in the next segment, I need to talk about what happened last night with the White Sox, because I think it was a very important victory in April.
Well, and we can do that. Let me. The reason why I just wanted to give some love to Joe Maddon, who is blessed with a ton of talent, but there was a moment on Friday where it was a 1-1 game. You're in the seventh inning, and the Atlanta Braves have runners on first and second. And
could you tell the story any slower?
Well, I just want to make sure I have it correct here. And I don't want anybody to get... I want to make sure...
For the love of God.
I want to make sure that everybody is listening. First and second, Eric Ibar is at the plate.
It's butted back to Lester. And he can't get it out of his glove. There you go. It was bunted so hard back to the mound that Rizzo couldn't get there to cut it off so that Lester wouldn't have to field it.
Okay, so bunted back to the mound, right? First and second. Lester was coming in to get the ball, but first he looked at Anthony Rizzo. Hey, man, are you going to pick that up? Because I can't throw the ball to first base. Nope, nobody can understand why he can't. But he wanted Rizzo to pick up the bunt.
It's still, to me, the most amazing thing in all of baseball.
Right.
That a pitcher can't throw the ball to first.
So now the bases are loaded. It's a 1-1 game, seventh inning, game's on the line, nobody out. What happens? Joe Maddon leaps out of the dugout, sprints to the mound, literally in a nice little jog, and they have a conversation. Here's Joe Maddon on what he said. Let's go John Lester first. Here's what Lester thought about this mound visit.
I mean, obviously when the manager comes out, there's one of two things. One, you're either getting taken out of the game or, he's giving you a pep talk. And, I think for me, that was kind of a nice break right there just to kind of, I think for everybody in that inning, just kind of clear your head and get back to focusing on, you know, one pitch and one batter.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a growth moment, even though he's been around the block a couple times, to be able to do that under those circumstances here definitely adds to his confidence. Was it Friday, correct? Friday afternoon, 1:20, middle of Chicago, place is pretty jamming, and have that kind of a ball game played. That doesn't happen every day. That was pretty cool.
So he loved, man's talking about the atmosphere in the park. But the point is that even though John Lester has won World Series, incredibly accomplished pitcher, the whole deal, he didn't pick up the ball or he didn't field it cleanly. He's kind of rattled out there. And I went all the way back to 2003 when there was a fly ball down the left field line and everybody was swirling and nobody came out of the dugout.
Yeah, no, okay.
Right?
Fair point, absolutely.
I mean, now this game might not have been quite as important, but the point is that this is a dude who understands psychology and what's going on and the moment and wanted to make sure that his pitcher was able to take a deep breath, let's calm down, and let's look at what is. Bases are loaded. You're playing the awful Atlanta Braves. We have a great chance to get out of this. Here's how we're going to go about it. Immediately played it forward. And that's where managers matter.
So what happened on the next play?
Well, then, so it was the greatest mound visit ever. 1-2-3 go the Braves. And inning over, they don't score. The Cubs win the game. Now, it's not going to work that way every single time. But, you know, I'm sitting there watching in the press box. You had... You know, he struck out swinging, struck out looking, and a ground out to first. I mean, John Lester is that type of talented pitcher where he can pull that off.
Yeah, and then the managers don't matter crowd are going to, well, you don't know how Lester would have done without that mound visit. You can't prove that Joe Maddon was the difference there. He's not out there on the field. But, it's like in the huddle in basketball, just because of a basketball coach draws up a certain play. I mean, you don't know that if the play broke down, Steph Curry doesn't drain the three anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, all the coach can do is do the best that he can do in that situation, and then all we can do is give him credit, whether it was a good or bad decision. I think in that moment, all you can do is give Joe Maddon credit for heads up thinking right there.
Right, and at the time, I'm like, that's great job by him going out. Don't know if it's going to work out or not. Then he gets the first out. I'm like, it's a phenomenal mound visit. Then the second out comes. Could be the best mound visit. He's on the verge of the best mound visit ever. And then they get the third out. Greatest mound visit in the history of mound visits in all April baseball. I mean, it was a phenomenal mound visit. But regardless, like the premise of, hey, I'm not going to send my pitching coach out here. This is not some mechanical thing. I want to have a mental moment with John Lester and get him centered. And that is a talent that most managers in the game don't have. Maddon has it.
Yeah, and then the conversation on the other side of town right now is that is Robin Ventura all of a sudden this better manager because the White Sox are winning all these games? I mean, I still go back to the conversation and the point that, 95% of the managers out there, maybe 90% of the managers out there, they don't make a huge, I agree with the premise, they don't make a huge difference in winning and losing compared to other sports. But there are still moments here and there, key moments, maybe every 3 days, that really come down to the manager making a decision. And it certainly helps when your ball club is better. It's there's no question it's easier to manage when your team is better. That applies to every sport. It's much easier to be a football coach if you have the New England Patriots compared to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, the Jaguars got a lot better this week.
And no question, the Cubs are a great team. I mean, they're winning by take today's 3-0 deficit right now, which is about to change to 10-3. I can feel it. But take that away, they're winning by 3.6 runs per game. Not to get into the nerd numbers of it all, but 3.6 runs per game. So that's almost 4 runs a game. Right. The most runs per game on average that somebody won by last year was the Blue Jays at 1.4. So you're talking about nearly 2.5 times the run differential the Cubs are rocking with. Granted, so it's only 1 month, but they're winning by a wide margin. They're pitching great. Their defense has been phenomenal, and they're hitting. I mean, they're only hitting .255 as a team. I mean, that's not anywhere near the top of baseball, but they're scoring a ton of runs because they get a lot of walks and they have power. And so he's got a great team, but you still need that guy in the top step of the dugout, man. They've never had a better manager than this. It's not even close.
No question. There's no question.
And that's not necessarily a haze on Dusty or Lou Piniella or Jim Fry or my favorite, Jim Riggleman. I loved Riggs.
Mike Quaddy?
I got.
How many people in this town remember that Mike Quaddy was the manager?
I was sold down the Quaddy River. I was pro Quaddy over Rhino.
Pro Quad?
Yeah. And then, because Rhino, I mean, come on. I love Rhino, but communicating as a manager, not his game. He'd be like Robin on the south side.
Good talking baseball again. Absolutely. The two first place clubs in this town. When we come back, I got to talk about last night's White Sox game as well, because yes, it's April. Maybe it's not the biggest game of all time, but playoff teams pull out those wins. That's what the White Sox did.
Just drop the P word. Learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN TV 312-981-7200. If you want to say the P word, we'd love to hear it.
Playoffs.
Right here, 720 WGN.
And there's a base hit. Here he comes. He's being waved around. Wicket with a little double clutch right there. He'll score. The Sox lead it 8-7. Yes.
720 WGN. Congrats to the Chicago White Sox on getting a win last night. And yes, that was Hawk Harrelson, the great Hawk Harrelson on WGN TV.
Hawk had an interesting night last night. It was like the White Sox were trolling him for a while.
In what way?
Well, first of all, Hawk was not in Toronto earlier this week. I don't know if he's been banned from Canada or what was going on there.
I enjoyed a Benetti in Toronto.
I did too, but then Hawk showed up in Baltimore, and the White Sox decided to start losing, including giving up three bad runs on Friday night with some errors, which this team has not been doing. They've been playing phenomenal defense for the most part. So then last night, first of all, let's start with Matt Latos.
Greatest pitcher ever?
Was not the Matt Latos.
He wasn't great last night,
was
though.
Not the great Matt Latos last night. So the Sox are down 5-3, but if you've been paying attention to this team, you gotta watch out for this team in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, especially in the 7th. They've put up a ton of runs this season late in innings, and they came back. And they took a 7-5 lead. And then the 2014 White Sox showed up for a minute, and the 2015 White Sox showed up for a minute, because Todd Frazier, who's been playing a phenomenal third base, makes a great pick down the left field line, throws just a gun across the infield, has the runner by like five steps, and Jose Abreu just decides not to catch the ball.
These things happen.
So, yeah, right. You can't play perfect baseball. You just can't do it for 162 days. And I was giving Jose Abreu credit earlier this week for improved play at first base. He has played better this year defensively. There's no question about it. But for some reason, in that moment, in a great play by Todd Frazier, he just decided not to catch the ball. It wasn't even a pick. He just didn't catch it. And then the White Sox gave up two runs right after that because they couldn't get out. They couldn't pitch over the air, which sometimes you got to pitch over a play like that. So it ends up being tied. But then what happens in the next inning? Jose Abreu comes up, hits a RBI single to take the lead. And my point is, playoff teams overcome moments like that where it was starting to look like it was going to be a horrendous loss. And it doesn't really matter what month those games happen, but you got to find a way to pull out those games. And the more you do that, the more likely you are to win your division. And over the last few seasons, the White Sox have just basically folded in every single one of those chances. And it's been the opposite so far this season.
Well, and you look at the standings right now. By the way, those two runs came off Matt Albers, but they were unearned. The guy's unbelievable. Right. He just doesn't give up.
Right. So his streak ended. His scoreless streak technically ended, but they were unearned runs. Because Jose Abreu couldn't catch the ball.
Which kind of hurts, but regardless, the guy's been great. And both Jose Abreu and Todd Frazier, they're both hitting .229. So the point of bringing that up is that there's like a lot of room for growth, too, for the White Sox.
Well, they've both picked it up this week.
Right.
I mean, they were both below .200.
Well, Todd Frazier started out hard, and then he wasn't.
Well, he has been consistently hitting for power. But the average wasn't up. He's got 7 home runs already this year.
I like Todd Frazier.
Here's what I didn't know about Todd Frazier. He's a phenomenal third baseman.
Very good third baseman. Great in the clubhouse. Has power. You want that guy on your club. Here's the question for you. 312-981-7200. The White Sox are going to be 18-8. And it looks like after the Cubs rally and come back today, they'll be 18-5. Or worst case scenario, they'll be 17-6. do we want, if we could just pick it right now, I'm looking for the diehards here. Would the White Sox want to play the Cubs in the World Series?
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Or would you rather have the stage to yourself? Because right now, like, this could be the first time since 06 or 07 when they played each other, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the closest and probably the closest we're ever going to come. 1 month in, and both teams in first place by a lot.
This city.
I mean, the Cubs are 3 games up on the Pirates, and the White Sox are 3 games up on the Tigers. I mean, this
city would just explode if this happened.
Do you want the spotlight to yourself, or do we just want to see the city just completely lose their mind? Because, I mean, you'll have, like, longtime friends.
Are you asking me or our listeners?
Well,
because as a radio host in this town,
yeah,
would love the Crosstown Classic.
Well, it doesn't, as a radio host, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's incredible insanity. If a baseball team is in the World Series in the city, we don't need them both.
Right, but there are a lot of fans, I think, on both sides of town. And 312-981-7200. It's a fascinating question, and I want to hear what fans think. So please call in and let us know. You can text that number as well, 312-981-7200. I mean, I think if you ask any Sox fan or if you ask any Cubs fan, would you rather lose the World Series to the Cubs?
Or not go?
Or the Padres? Or if you're a Cubs fan, would you rather lose the World Series to the White Sox, or would you rather lose it to
the Orioles?
The Orioles, right?
First place Baltimore.
Every one of those fans is going to say, not the Cubs, not the White Sox. Wouldn't be able to handle that. But on the winning side of it,
right?
Would you rather beat the Padres, or would you rather beat the Cubs? Would you rather beat the White Sox, or would you rather beat the Orioles? Everyone would also, on the flip side of that, say, oh, I'd much rather beat the Crosstown team.
And by the way, I could see the collective eye roll by everyone saying, that's never going to happen. Let's just dare to dream for a moment here.
They're like the two best teams in baseball.
Right. I mean, right now, best record in baseball. I mean, there are a couple. I mean, the White Sox have the best record in the American League by a significant margin. And the Cubs are right there with the Washington Nationals. And okay, fine. But they're the two best teams in baseball right now, the White Sox and the Cubs.
It's great.
I mean, come on.
What a fun month.
It's amazing. We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Back here on The Beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here with you. Again, coming up at 5 o'clock, we have a very special Blackhawks hour for you. We'll recap the season for you from 5 to 6. Until then, talking some baseball, talking some football with you.
And we know that it's tough to get over the Blackhawks season not still going on right now. I mean, really, the Blackhawks should be playing hockey. But they're getting their rest. They're going to come back strong. Core's still going to be here. Hopefully Andrew Shaw will be as well. I think we still have to, I mean, I think the season is, despite not ending the way we all wanted it to, it was still, and so many people came out afterwards saying it was a failure. It's hard for me to call that year a failure. I know they wanted more, but you were in a great 7-game series with a team that's got a chance at taking the whole thing. It's hard for me to say the word failure. Disappointing.
Failure.
You really think it was a failure?
One goal, Mark Carmen. It's their own slogan.
If
you ask Patrick Kane or if you ask Jonathan Taves if it was a failure, they would say it was a failure.
Yeah, that's fine. That's them. But, like, I don't...
One goal.
Do you live your life in a black and white, or is there some gray over there? Can we get a little gray going on?
There's a lot of gray in the city right now. Is the sun ever going to come up ever again in Chicago?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to bet that it will, though.
312-981-7200.
Okay. If they had lost in the first round 4-1, or not made the playoffs, or Patrick Kane wasn't the all-time first scoring leader in the history of the NHL that's from this country. If they hadn't won 12 games in a row, if Corey Crawford hadn't stood on his head in the playoffs, I mean,
one goal.
I mean, fair enough. If that's how you feel. That's how you feel. I don't. I guess I can't. I guess I can't change you on that. And just to answer our other question, I'm a recovering hate the other side of town guy. I think I've matured just to drop.
Okay, I'm proud of you.
Right, but I can't. if
yeah, what's your answer to that question you posed?
If you're giving me the choice, Cubs versus Sox in the playoffs, or the Cubs are in the World Series and they have the whole dance floor to themselves, I'll take the Cubs by themselves.
Okay, so you're, and if you're just joining us, we asked the listeners a little bit earlier, would you rather see a crosstown, if you're a White Sox fan, if you're a Cubs fan, would you rather play the other team in the World Series or play a different team? Can you handle the pressure of a crosstown World Series? And yes, it's April. We're having some fun here because the two best teams in Major League Baseball are right here in Chicago.
And I was joking about the Cubs coming back, or actually I was like minorly joking, I guess. It was 3-0, now it's 3-2, bottom eight. So if anything happens, like listening to play-by-play, you could do that and all. But if anything happens, we got it right here for you. So it's a 3-2 game.
Oh, my God, I'm just having dreams right now. Game one of the World Series, Chris Sale versus Jake Arrieta.
I mean, that would...
Oh, my God.
That'd be amazing.
Come on.
Right. I mean, I can already see it.
John Lester versus Quintana in game two.
Fowler just works a nice, solid base on balls to start the game. Up steps Jason Hayward, base hit to left, first and second.
This is the first inning?
Yeah. And then here.
Against Sale?
Yeah. And then here comes Anthony. Yeah, here comes.
And then
Chris
Sale strikes
Bright
out the side.
Here comes Chris Bryant with a 3-run jack. 3-0 Cub.
Yeah, that's We're, not how that game would go.
Never know. Never know.
Be two no-hitters going into the ninth inning.
So, maybe. Maybe not. We'll have a little bit of a... See, and that's the other thing, too. Like, people don't get excited about Cubs Sox. Maybe this year there will be a little excitement. I always enjoy Cubs Sox.
Can I tell you what's going on that same week? Because they're not... The two divisions aren't playing each other this year, which means it's a four-game series in the middle of the week, which just sucks. Why can't they do the four-game series Thursday through Sunday? Why has it got to be Monday through Thursday? So they're doing the four-game series where two,
I agree with you,
two games are on the north side, two games are on the south side, and do you know what starts that week? And this is very selfish by me to bring this up because most of the city won't really care. They'll be concentrated on Cubs Sox.
Is this like some OTA bad Bears thing?
The training camp starts that week.
Yeah, come on.
I know I'm being selfish right now, but I... We'll have to be in Bourbonnais.
Well, I mean, there's this thing called a car, and if you put like your foot onto the pedal, it'll move you back to the city.
Okay.
And if memory serves,
so when Ryan Pace's press conference wraps up at 4 o'clock, and I have 30 minutes of tape to go through and three stories to write for WGNRadio.com.
Yeah.
You want me to just say, screw it.
No.
Driving up to the cell.
But, the game times are...
I'll be writing until at least 9 o'clock on that first day.
Okay, that's day one. What's day two?
We don't know yet.
Okay, so you'll...
Last year, usually there's an off day.
You'll miss game one. Then game two, you've got another 7:10 on the south side. Then 7:05 on the north side. 7:05 on the north side. You're good. You'll be all
breaking
right.
Bears news right now, by the way.
Okay.
Kind of a big cut. If you saw my Twitter feed last night, I told you some cuts were coming. But I did not expect this. According to Adam Schefter from ESPN, the Bears have released a veteran safety, Antrell Roll.
That's surprising to a point, but he couldn't stay on the field. Great guy in the locker room. Impressive. You know... His presence here, I wouldn't say it was signing him for last season made sense, I suppose, even though you're an aging team. But, hey, they drafted a ton of guys and to play in the secondary, and he can't stay healthy, and they're moving on, right?
Fair enough. This was a guy that was – so when the season ends, us beat reporters, you take note of contracts, guys that – didn't live up to them the year before. Who's a candidate to be a cap casualty, as we like to call them? The Bears aren't up against the cap though this year. So, and Antrell Roll's money, the rest of his money on his contract, which he has 2 years left, are not guaranteed. So I didn't think there was any urgency to release him. although it doesn't surprise me that it's happening. And what happened was the Bears last night, draft gets over, and because they had so many draft picks, they only had 7 spots to sign undrafted free agents. And if you paid attention to the reports of who they were signing, when I went to bed it last night, they were at 93 people on the roster. You could only have 90. So I knew right there some cuts were coming. The question was, are they going to be like these people no one's ever heard of on the back end of the roster, or would it be somebody like Antrell Roll? Obviously, the Bears decided to part ways here with Antrell Roll.
Then they drafted 2 safeties yesterday. They obviously did not see a spot for Antrell Roll on the team. And as much as you look at the schedule, we went through that yesterday, and the Bears have a chance to be very competitive. You'd think that they could possibly get to 9-10 wins. You still have a young transitioning team. You got a lot of veterans, and you got a quarterback who's a veteran. But the defense, you're talking about a major overhaul, right? And you're talking about Leonard Floyd. You're talking about, Eddie Goldman. You're talking about really changing the whole shape of that defense and giving guys that Vic Fangio feels comfortable with.
Look, they drafted a whole bunch of guys in their secondary yesterday.
Right.
And one of them, Deion Bush, is a safety. I think they like Harold Jones-Corte, who you saw at the end of the year. Harold Jones-Corte. And they also added DeAndre Hall, who is a corner but could play some safety, and then Houston Carson as well in the 6th round. So they added a bunch of guys here who can compete at safety. You have Antrell Roll, who is due to make $2.4 million, plus he's added a roster bonus and a workout bonus, so it all comes out to $2.7 million this year for a guy that couldn't stay on the field. So this makes a lot of sense, and it's probably a courtesy to him as well, a veteran. Now he can go out there, look for work elsewhere instead of being dragged through training camp and then being let go at the end of it, like, say, a Tim Jennings was last year before he got cut in camp.
Right. Right.
But he's also 33. Is another team even going to take a chance on him at this point?
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, maybe. Probably not as a starter, you would think.
Yeah. I've been surprised before. You know, a guy like Lance Briggs, I thought for sure would get a job last year. Didn't even end up in a camp.
Yeah, when the Bears cut you these days, it's a good sign that your career is over. You had a good run. We're saying goodbye.
Happened to Urlacher, happened to Briggs. Now it's happened to Antrell Roll.
Let's take a quick time out. When we come back here, you looked at a lot of video on all the draftees. We'll give a little draft update further in depth, Adam spending some time. And then there's a new quarterback in town as well that we can throw a little love to. So we'll do that coming straight back here. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. Our number is 312-981-7200. We got an interesting question for you at the start of the 4 o'clock hour around the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs. How do those two come together? Stay tuned. We will explain. But you had an interesting night last night, didn't you? Your wife's out of town, and you just dove right in after the show, didn't you, Mr. Football?
No, I did. I did it this morning. When I got home last night, I poured myself a nice glass of Glenlivet.
You got a lot of alcohol in your house. I was over at the Hogue residence for his birthday extravaganza, and really everywhere you turn, there was lots of options. Here's some beers. Here's a bottle opener. Here's some whiskey. You want some rum? I was impressed.
Well, there is a bar in the Hogue basement.
You're a good man.
And it was definitely open last night once the draft ended. You know what's better than tracking all these undrafted players that are going to get cut in 2 months?
What's that?
Pouring yourself a glass of Glenlivet and watching Vin Scully
call
a baseball game. That's what I did last night. I was surprised. Well, first I watched the White Sox game, and the Cubs had been rained out, and then there wasn't anything on. Like, I even... You'd be proud of me, speaking of the NBA playoffs. I actually went looking for an NBA game.
What was on last night?
Nothing. I mean, there was a game, but it was over at 10.
Okay.
I expected there to be late-night hockey, late-night NBA. There was nothing. And so I went to MLB TV. I turned on the Dodgers, and I watched Vin Scully. But what I did this morning was then I woke up. I did the work I probably should have done last night, and I watched some film on all these draft picks.
Okay, so let's start at who excited you the most after watching more film. Who do you think the Bears fans are going to get to know and love next year?
Well, let me clarify. It takes a lot of time to watch these game, so I got through the first four. I didn't get through every pick this morning. But I did watch more of Leonard Floyd, and I'd watched plenty of him before the draft. But I watched a little bit more of the Auburn tape. What I liked, what I saw there was actually an example of him rushing out of a three-point stance.
Explain to people. People
not to
don't
get
know
too technical. Explain just with his hand on the ground.
Right. So 2-point means that you're standing up straight and you're coming out. 3-point means you got a finger in the dirt. Just to break it down.
Right. And oftentimes in the 3-4 defense that the Bears are running, you're probably going to see Leonard Floyd standing up more, rushing out of a 2-point stance, which just means he's coming off the edge with a little bit more momentum. Instead of with his hand on the ground, but he can do it, but he can put his hand on the ground. And really what I noticed watching him before the draft was that when he's going up against offensive tackles, he's always trying to get to the outside, and I hadn't seen many inside moves, but I did find an example, and this is all on WGNradio.com, by the way, because I was tweeting some of this video as I was watching it, and I put it all together in a post. So go to WGNradio.com/Bears, and you can follow along with what I'm talking about right now on the radio. But there is an example of him using an inside move on Auburn's right tackle and getting right to the quarterback. What I like about Floyd, his instincts are very good. And this is what there's been a lot of comparisons to Shea McClellan this week, I think fairly, when you look at does he have the strength to hold up at the NFL level.
Right.
What I like
he's
about...
He's a better athlete than Shea, let's be clear.
He's a better athlete, although Shea was pretty athletic, but Floyd's better.
He's longer. Go ahead.
Longer, which is going to be to his advantage because it's going to give him leverage. But more importantly than anything, Carm, his instincts are so much better. I mean, if I look at Shea McClellan, the thing that killed him was instincts.
I was going to say, he didn't have any instincts.
I mean, he couldn't...
He was always out of position.
And part of that was because the Bears messed with him and played him at three different positions, and he was on the wrong defense. But Leonard Floyd, even if he gets blocked early, he sees the ball. He knows where the play is going. Rarely ever caught out of position. So I like that. I like that a lot. A criticism? Once the play gets by him,
the effort,
not really 110% guy to chase in pursuit. I love when guys, okay, maybe the play goes the opposite way, or maybe he gets blocked and it goes by you, but then all of a sudden that player comes out of nowhere 20 yards down the field and gets the tackle. I like that effort. I have not seen a whole lot of that from Floyd on tape. Also, a couple plays where he gets into it after the whistle and actually got in against Auburn, he got called for a personal foul after the whistle. You don't want to see that.
See, it's interesting that's I'm hearing that out of you, because I didn't realize that was part of his DNA, let's call it. Because when you're listening to the guy get interviewed, yes sir, and he's super relaxed, like basically like he's 3 Bob Marley CDs deep, right? I mean, that's how he sounds to me. But yet you wonder about guys like that who play football for a living now, or was doing it in college. I mean, you have to have a certain level of intensity that's not the average person walking around doesn't have that. So like, when somebody's, like, that chill, I'm like, how much are you, like, tempering down what's really going on in there, man? Because...
Right, and a lot of guys are like that, nice and calm when you talk to them during the week, and then on Sunday. I mean, Kyle Long's like that. Kyle's a cool dude to talk to during the week. When he gets out there on the football field, man, I would run away.
Quickly.
I would run far, far away from that dude. But you got to be careful after the whistle. Hey, and there was an instance with Kyle Long a couple years ago in St. Louis where he nailed a guy after the whistle. And remember he pulled his brother out of that scrum?
That was awesome.
That was cool against the Rams. So, you know, it's just something to watch with Leonard Floyd going forward. Here's my word for word, my tweet on Cody Whitehair, the offensive guard the Bears drafted in the second round.
Right.
Cody Whitehair's tape is boring.
Well, he's an offensive lineman.
Well, but not even that. Because I don't think Kyle Long's tape is boring.
Kyle Long, I suppose that's possible because he's a rare, freakish offensive lineman who's just that good of an athlete.
But I don't mean this as an insult to Cody Whitehair at all. He's just so damn consistent. He really is. And watching his tape, and I tweeted this, it's like watching the same play over and over and over and over again. It's a compliment.
It is a compliment to you that you sit there and do this type of stuff. The fact that you're able to just sit there and watch offensive line tape on Cody Whitehair, who may or may not be a starter, who may, I think he'll make it in the league. You know, it's rare that a second round pick doesn't have at least somewhat of a decent career. I give you props for taking the time to do this. We all thank you, and we appreciate you reporting back. Bottom line, I think the biggest concern that came out yesterday was, you know, at least from Hampo B and Kaz, was that they don't think he's strong enough. They don't think he's physical enough. What do you think?
Well, I think a theme with all these draft picks the last 3 days have been that maybe they're not strong enough. The Bears fully believe that they can add. Here's what you can do. You can add strength. They believe in their nutrition program. They believe in their strength staff. Jen Gibson's the former Olympian nutritionist that worked with all these great Olympians, and she's working for the Bears now. So they trust that they can get these guys stronger and get them up to speed from the strength standpoint. What you can't teach are all the traits that they drafted this week. The speed, the athleticism, the instincts, the get-off, which Jonathan Bullard, the third-round pick, the get-off with Jonathan Bullard. You can't teach that kind of thing. And so I think that's what the Bears did when they drafted these guys. They're trusting their coaching staff. They're trusting their strength program to get these guys up to speed.
And you know who agrees with you about what you just said? The Bears general manager, Ryan Pace.
Yeah, I think when you take a player, you know, some of these guys, they're not finished products, you know, so you take a guy that's a little raw, but as scouts and as coaches, we see the physical traits. So, you know, we always say, you know, you can get him bigger and stronger, but you can't get him faster and more athletic. So when you see a guy that has the twitch and the speed and athleticism and they're a little raw, it's great to have the coaching staff that we have because there's just so much confidence when you put them in that room, they're going to flourish and get better. And as a scout and as an evaluator, that's awesome to see that.
See, and there's two sides of that, though, too, right? You want that freakish athletic ability, but you also want old-school just football players, guys who really have a feel for the game, and maybe they make up for some of their limitations with just complete want and lunacy, if that makes sense.
But that was something, I don't know if we have it. John Fox talked about this yesterday, too, the kind of that old-school, what was the exact word he used? Let me find what he said exactly.
Adam Hogue does not want to get. You know what we're gonna do?
No, because okay. I have it right here and throw a throwback player.
Right, he likes. Yeah,
he talked about
right.
wanting a throwback player, and he was asked what that meant, and John Fox said dependability, playing through owies. That's what he uses. He calls them owies. He said that's critical, and the Bears also believe that the kind of guys they've drafted here are those guys. I mean. Leonard Floyd had a shoulder thing that he played through.
You know who is most definitely a throwback? Glenn Kozlowski's cousin, brother, nephew, Nick Kwiatkowski.
Yeah.
Nick Kwiatkowski, this was based on your throwback guy, because I think that's like the number one throwback guy they picked.
John would come in my office throughout the season and go, hey, I want throwback players. And he definitely fits that mode. What I like most about him, I think the number one trait when you're looking for a linebacker is instincts, because you can't coach that, you know. And so he just reacts so quick, and he attacks downhill. So he's making tackles near the line of scrimmage. And I think instincts transfer to whatever level you're playing at.
There you go.
And I agree. I mean, instincts is like one of my favorite things. And he's talking about Nick Kwiatkowski. There's a video I tweeted out of him specifically doing that to a running back behind the line of scrimmage, exactly what Ryan Pace just talked about.
I'm excited about a Nick Kwiatkowski just for the name alone. But it looks like I was going through your Twitter feed on your suggestion today. I should be doing that on my own, by the way. And I liked what
But this is why I do it, so you can just look at what I did. And I also found him going one-on-one against Cody Whitehair.
Really?
This year.
That's kind of cool.
Guess who won that battle?
Kwiatkowski?
No.
White hair
stoned him.
White hair greater than Kwiatkowski?
A lot bigger. He should stone him.
Yeah. All right, here, quick timeout. 4 o'clock news coming straight ahead, and then we got an NFL draft question for you. And when it wraps up the baseball, too, we'll do a little pseudo postgame show as well. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
To the 10th, they go at Wrigley Field, 3-3, Cubs and the Braves. What did I say about, I don't know, 50 minutes ago? It's a guarantee.
Never say die.
Never say die. They were down 3-0. They'll tie it up.
Well, clearly they don't want to lose out in having the best, most amount of wins in baseball to the Chicago White Sox.
who won their 18th game today. Has that gone final?
That's a final. White Sox come back. They finally have an off day. They haven't had an off day in like 20 days. Hey, got another 2 hours here with you today. At 5 o'clock, we got a full hour Blackhawks recap of the season. But next Saturday, our next show, getting really excited for this because it has been billed as the greatest 2 minutes in sports, and we're celebrating with a four-hour party. Join us next Saturday, May 7th, with Ro Khan. He's going to join us, and it's our Chicago Derby party presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka at Howells & Hood, which is right next door to our studio here inside Tribune Tower. We'll be talking sports from 3 to 7 p.m., and Ro, the racing aficionado, joins us from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can enjoy specialty cocktails made with Tito's Handmade Vodka, like the classic mint julep or Ro's favorite, the Double Ro 7.
I'm coming with so many horse racing questions for Ro. I'm gonna try to stump the guy. That's my goal.
I don't think it's gonna work. Stump him once, I'll be impressed.
I'm gonna go like deep into the annals of horse racing because I know that Ro. There's nothing that Ro doesn't know about the sport. Oh, so that's what I'm gonna try.
Live reaction right here on the beats of Mark Carbon watching the Chicago Cubs. Ooh, we'll also have featured Southern Dishes on the menu. This is at Howells & Hood next Saturday, May 7th. You'll want to dress to the nines as well. There's prizes for best hat and the most dapper. You can get details at WGNradio.com/events and join us May 7th for our derby party at Howells & Hood.
So we got a question for you to start the 4 o'clock hour here, 312-981-7200. Now, we just did extensive NFL draft coverage, which was fantastic.
For the last four days.
And you've been having your big board on the Steve Cochran Morning Show for how long? 3 weeks?
Three weeks.
Every morning at 7, I'd wake up, and all of a sudden, Adam Hogue would be talking to me. Dave Hogue.
Great way to wake up.
It was. Dave Annett would lead into you, and then I'd get a report on some dude I'd never heard of. I'm like, okay, it's great. They should take DeForest Buckner.
Including Leonard Floyd.
Sure.
Leonard Floyd was number 10 on the Bears' big board.
Right.
The Bears took him 9th.
We'll see how that works out. Now, there's another massive sporting event going on that's not happening in the city, even though the NFL draft, I suppose, happened in the city. But the Chicago Bulls, last time I checked, they didn't make the playoffs. But the NBA playoffs is still going on. So I hear a lot of NFL draft love/hate.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of NBA love/hate.
Correct.
So it's a very simple question. We want to do an informal poll right now, and it's extremely important. Society is going to be shifting because of this. Which, if you were forced to be in a sports cave for 3 days, would you rather watch close to 70 hours of NFL draft coverage, or would you rather watch the NBA playoffs? NBA playoffs or the NFL draft? Because my contention is there's like a niche football crowd that absolutely loves the draft, but it's like this really small Adam Hogue crowd of just diehard football people. But like, you couldn't love it any more than you love it, even though you kind of have like a love-hate with it because you're so, it takes up so much time for you to do the whole thing.
4 months.
4 months. And then the NBA, see, I feel like we're a bigger group than people give us credit for. Like, everyone's, no one watches the NBA, Carmen. Nobody watches. Yes, we do. I think on our informal poll here, 312-981-7200, I think the NBA will trump the NFL. Because I would watch preseason hoop over Mel Kiper and company sitting on the desk and telling me, or Deion Sanders doing another interview where he tells a guy, I got you. You're my guy. He's best buddies with every single one of them. Why can't one of those guys be like, Deion, you're a phony. I don't trust you at all. You know what I'm talking about?
Why would they do that?
Because it's so disingenuous.
All right, well, let me... Let me tell you about the TV ratings here for the NFL draft.
Go ahead, tell me.
They took a tumble this year. There seems to be, this is on CBSSports.com, there seems to be one big reason for the fall. The Patriots fans decided not to tune in. Fans in New England had been planning to boycott the first round of the draft, and it appears that the boycott worked. The Boston market did just a 1.5 rating during ESPN's telecast of the first round. That's a huge drop from 2015 when the Boston area did a 3.7 rating. according to ESPN.com. Of course, Patriots fans had no reason to watch the first round because New England didn't have a first-round pick. Anyway, the ratings drop in Boston definitely didn't help things, as the first round this year drew the draft's lowest ratings since 2013, when it drew a 4.6. According to Deadline.com, ESPN drew a 4.7 rating this year, well below the 5.1 rating that it had back in 2015. The all-time record for NFL draft viewers came in 2014, when Johnny Manziel helped the draft to a ridiculous 6.8 rating. By the way, these ratings are lower than the Pro Bowl. So these are lower than I would have expected. Also way higher than the NBA playoffs, though, I'm assuming.
I can't argue against that. I don't have the NBA ratings in front of me. But I don't either.
But I can't imagine.
I would assume they are greater. My guy John Burmeister on Twitter, at BermJB, NBA hands down. He says it with confidence.
It's not a fair fight, though, because like if you have San Antonio playing Oklahoma City, you're talking about two markets. You got now in this year, obviously, Boston didn't tune into the NBA draft.
Because
they
were
NFL watching, draft, you still have 31 other markets that care, though.
Yeah, but they were watching Celtics Hawks. That's why they weren't. That's why they weren't tuned.
Was there a game Thursday night?
I don't think so. I think the series was over by then.
Okay. By the way, the Cubs are losing again.
Yes, Atlanta has scored, but that's all part of the plan here. And let me go back to Thursday night. I want to double check my work here. Yes, no, there was Celtics and the Hawks on Thursday night.
So that contributed too.
That contributed. Absolutely contributed.
Can I give you the top 10 cities for the NFL draft? This is kind of interesting.
Kansas City's in there, I guarantee it. Really?
Who do you think the number one market is for the NFL draft?
Well, in theory, I would think it would be the L.A. because you have a football team now and you have the number one overall pick, but I'm going to say that's not the case.
Not in there.
Dallas?
Not in there.
New York?
Not in there.
New York's a bad guess.
Here's the thing, though. It's market share, right? So a lot of different things going on in bigger cities. So anyway, the answer, the number one.
Green Bay?
Cleveland Browns. Well, not necessarily the Browns, but Cleveland.
Right.
Cleveland did a 13.3. Columbus did a 13.1. So Ohio, very interested in the draft. Number four, Dayton, Ohio. So Ohio is just soaking in the draft on Thursday night.
Doesn't that really tell you all that you want to know right there?
Yeah. New Orleans did a 7.8. Birmingham came in fifth with a 7.5. Jacksonville comes in with a 7.2. Philly came in with a 7. Minneapolis, St. Paul with a 6.9. Then there's Buffalo and Nashville. Get the top 10 in there.
312 texting in. NFL draft by far. 708. I'm with you, Carm. NBA hands down, even without the Bulls. That to me seems like the ultimate trump card right there. Even without the Bulls, my NBA guy, I feel very comfortable in my NBA draft. What would you rather watch? The NBA playoffs or the NFL draft? You, Adam Hoge.
The draft. No question.
Even like rounds, even rounds 4 through 7?
Yes. But if you ask me, would I rather watch baseball or the draft, I'd say baseball.
So you'd rather watch baseball or the draft. What about, would you rather watch the Baltimore Orioles play the Seattle Mariners?
No. I'm talking White Sox and
no, but I'm throwing out
maybe Cubs.
But I'm throwing out I'll throw Twins Indians to give you an AL Central matchup.
I'm watching the draft then.
No. Let me go NBA playoffs. Twins Indians or Celtics Hawks.
If it's Celtics Hawks, I'm going Twins Indians. If it's Spurs Warriors, give me Spurs Warriors.
Okay. So tonight, Game 7, Pacers and the Raptors, 7:00. Yin?
What time does the fourth quarter start? And by the way, I feel that about all NBA games. What time does the fourth quarter start?
9:00.
And I think even you will admit this, 95% of NBA games you can turn on at the start of the fourth quarter and feel like you didn't miss anything. Be honest.
I mean, I'm not going to say that watching the fourth quarter is not the best part of the game, but of course you've missed something. You've missed 3 quarters of outstanding NBA basketball, Adam Hoge.
No.
Damn it. Everything's coming up Cubs, even though they're trailing right now 4-3 in the top of the 10th, or bottom of 10. The Cubs are coming up here. Today, the hot-hitting Northsiders closing out the homestand. Actually, I shouldn't read that one because that's already going on. How about this one? Weekday mornings, 4-10, has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news.
What does that say right there at the top, I believe?
It said, please pre-read. First live read is time-sensitive.
Did you pre-read it?
Well, I've never looked above the read, but now I just learned something. I made a mistake. Mark Harmon, owning his mistake.
Not perfect. Your tape is not perfect.
I'm playing
your,
it forward.
Your film review is not. I'm just giving you a hard time. I love you. I've done that at least four times.
I feel slightly bad. You know who else made a mistake today? A Major League Baseball team.
Those five guys are wearing those jerseys to the game today? Well, okay. I want to know. I'm teased.
Are you teased?
I'm teased.
Okay, we're going to do that coming back. 720 WGN.
That's not a bad gift. I might have to give my wife one of those.
She'd love you even more, Adam Hogue.
Eh.
Maybe not. Her love cannot be any higher. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, Mark.
That's beautiful. So.
Good song, by the way.
Have you ever wanted to be a general manager of a baseball team?
Not really. I like to sleep.
Have you ever wanted to be. Really? You don't.
No, it would be kind of cool.
Wouldn't it? Front office, make moves, trades, wheel and deal, make huge, huge, huge money.
That part of it's nice.
The Atlanta Braves today tried to bring up a player by the name of Emilio Bonifacio.
Emilio Bonifacio, former White Sox, former Cub.
Right. City very familiar with an Emilio. Emilio was at Triple-A. So they said, Emilio, get on up here. We need you today to try to slay the best team in baseball, the Chicago Cubs. And he's like, cool. I'm headed up there. I'm going to be at Wrigley Field. I'm gonna step in wherever you need me. They told Chris Withrow, hey, buddy, you stink.
You're going down.
You're going to the minors.
Probably didn't tell him he stunk, though.
Said, hey, you got some things you need to work on. We'll get you back here sooner than later. So there was a problem. Bonifacio is ineligible to be on the Braves roster until...
On their 40-man?
On their 25-man.
25-man.
Till this coming Saturday, which is...
Like a week from yesterday.
Yes.
So he needs to wait a whole nother week.
6 days from now.
But they called him up even though he was ineligible?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the rule is it hasn't been 30 days since he was released by the Braves. Braves released him. You would think that they would know the rules. But they apparently did not. Basic rules of general managership. Know what players can be on your roster. And this and young Withrow, Chris Withrow, he had already left town. So the Braves were stuck a player short today. Because now Withrow's got to be returning, which he's back on his way, I guess, to the club. And then Bonifacio can rejoin next Saturday.
Okay. That is...
Now, why would I bring this up?
Because it's an interesting story.
Well, that and I just think, like, listen, there are people in really powerful... high money-making positions that...
Make mistakes.
That make mistakes that perhaps those of us who feel like we're pigeonholed in some corner can't advance. Like, trust me, there is opportunity out there. You can get it done. Those above you, they're not perfect. You fill in the cracks correctly. Next thing you know, you're the general manager of the Atlanta Braves.
Well, their general manager's name is John Coppolello.
Mm-hmm.
And he was promoted to that position in October, I believe. So this is his first year as GM. And maybe he's just never been through that before. I don't know. Seems like if you... he's been with the team for 9 years now. So you think you lower-level guys are familiar with those rules, but he just made a mistake. Remember a few years ago in the NFL draft when the Bears tried to trade up in the first round? Remember this? And they made a trade with the Baltimore Ravens. And the trade was agreed upon. The Ravens called it in. And nobody called it in for the Bears. And the next team, I want to say it was the Philadelphia Eagles, ended up leapfrogging the Ravens and making the next pick. Because the Ravens didn't make their pick. And once the clock runs out and you don't make your pick or submit it to the league, the next team can jump you. And so the Ravens got screwed because nobody at Hallis Hall called in the pick. Whoever's job that was to call it in didn't do it. And the Bears ended up still getting their guy because they were trying to trade up for Gabe Kareemi, who didn't work out anyway.
Not particularly well, no.
So, I mean, this whole situation for the Bears, Jerry Angelo's last year as general manager, and you wonder how much that contributed to it being Jerry Angelo's last year as general manager. Because he was a black eye. I mean, the Ravens were not happy, and I believe John Harbaugh came out with some strong comments and even mentioned the McCaskies by name. It made the entire franchise look very bad.
See, you know who wouldn't do that?
No.
Wait for it. Wait for it. I believe his name is Theo. I don't think Theo and company would ever not call something in, ever put a guy on the 25-month.
I agree.
And by the way, the Cubs have just lost. Anthony Rizzo flew out to the warning track.
Almost had a walk-off home run there.
A near walk-off. The wind not exactly howling out today as it's super cold still. And the Cubs.
That's a win a month from now, probably.
Could have been.
With the wind blowing out.
Rizzo to the opposite field with Bryan on first, just shy of the wall. And it's a 4-3 victory for the Atlanta Braves. Season is still fine. Let's not have a meltdown. There it is. You hear that? Dan Long, Adam Hogue is clapping for the Braves. I want that on the record.
John Coppola's had a rough day. I just want to throw him some support.
We can
the
do
White Sox with the most wins in baseball.
And that's really the actual reason why right there. So Cubs lose 4-3, White Sox win.
I'm just kidding around. You know I'm rooting for the Crosstown World Series.
Well, today was a blow for that. We need.
You are the one who's rooting against that because you don't want to play the White Sox. You just sound like a scared Cub fan.
It would be too much. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't.
How much do you think seats would be worth?
A lot.
You're the seat guy.
What seat?
Like the worst seat in the building. I don't care.
Okay, so
the last seat in the corner of U.S. Cellular Field's upper deck, which is basically like watching the game from Michigan.
So, well, I don't know on the south side of the. I mean, would they sell out U.S. Cellular Field? Oh yeah, the Cubs would. Cub fans would be going on down there, so it would sell out. It's a low blow.
Did you just question whether or not a World Series game would? Like, you do realize that the White Sox were in the World Series 11 years ago.
Let's see.
And every game was sold out, and the tickets were ridiculous.
I think the seats at Wrigley Field would be the upper level corner, like 536, would be worth
$10,000.
No. $3,000 though in the corner.
$3,000.
$10,000 behind home plate, maybe more.
More than that. First of all, we're just talking about the Cubs being in the World Series. Okay, let's just start there. Cubs are in the World Series. Tickets are worth $1 billion. Now you're adding that it's the White Sox versus the Cubs.
Yes.
Every single person in this entire city wants to be in the stadium.
It's
I'm not kidding when I think that there would be tickets sold for $25,000.
Oh, I'm sure there would be.
Like a seat.
It's possible. Let's let it happen. I'm in. 312-981-7200. We got to take a quick time out here for news. Cubs lose 4-3. White Sox baseball post for you, 720 WGN. White Sox, 18 wins. The Cubs, a disappointing 17 wins.
The plan's just not working on the north side.
Thought we were going to tie it up today. One more biscuit for breakfast. Anthony Rizzo could have dropped one into the basket in left field, and Cubs could have walked off a victor. But the Chicago White Sox, with the best record in all of baseball, leading the American League by a wide margin, and the Cubs sitting up top the National League. What's the date today?
It is May 1st. Isn't it May Day?
It is May Day. It's May 1st.
And this is The Beat, 720 WGN. Adam Hogue and Mark Harmon with you till 6 o'clock, but at 5, we got a full-hour Blackhawks special for you, recapping the season. Looking forward to that, but another 25 minutes here with you before we do that. And want to ask you right now, the baseball fan, maybe you're driving home from the Cubs game and just happy about your White Sox right now. Biggest surprise in baseball. Would you say it's the White Sox with an 18-8 record? Or could you say, like, the Houston Astros being 7-17, 10 games below 500? So are you more surprised the Sox are 10 games over, or that the Astros are 10 games under?
Or are you more surprised that the White Sox have been able to survive without Adam LaRoche, and more importantly, Drake LaRoche?
That would be the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
Other surprises could potentially be, you know what the St. Louis Cardinals are? Under 500. 12-13. And it is early, but we're 25 games in there. I mean, that's a sample size. We got a sample size.
Yeah, they just got swept by the Nationals, right?
Yes. And the Nationals are 17-7, one half game back of the World Series champion to be Chicago Cubs.
I mean, the NL Central's playing out pretty much how I expected it to, except for the fact that the Cardinals are below 500. The fact that the Cardinals are third place behind the Pirates and the Cubs doesn't surprise me, but I thought it would be a little bit more bunched than it is. Another thing we should point out with the White Sox, the Cubs have a three-game lead over the Pirates. Granted, it's only been a month, but the White Sox have a 3.5-game lead over the Tigers, 4.5-game lead over the Royals,
who've lost five in a row.
That's surprising, too, that the Royals have lost five in a row.
The World Series champion Kansas City Royals, 12-11. The Tigers are 13-10, and the White Sox, let's just say it one more time. Chicago White Sox have the best record in all of baseball, 18-8. Now, it's not the best win percentage. 17-6 is a .739 winning percentage. 18-8 comes in at .692.
Well, but look, the Cubs are a better team. I mean, you look at the roster, at least on paper, the Cubs are a better team.
Well, you're talking about potentially the best team in the history of baseball right now on the North Side. I mean, you go back to the 1927 Yankees and you think about Babe Ruth and, you know, Lou Gehrig and company. Babe Rizzo, Babe Bryant,
Mickey Schwarber,
Jeter Russell.
Oh, he's hurt. I forgot.
Actually, you'd have to combine all the great Yankee teams to get the Cubs. I mean, Russell, Jeter. Who's at third? Let's think about that. I mean, honestly, I don't know if we can just limit it to the Yankees. It might be like Brett Bryant. Right? I mean, George Brett, probably the greatest third baseman of all time. Brett Bryant.
By the way, Yankees are 8-14.
Yeah, how's our guy Starlin doing?
I don't know.
Yankees have the worst record in the American League East. Starlin started out the season on fire, and he still leads the New York Yankees in batting average at .305. Starlin has 25 hits, by far the best on the team. He's got 4 doubles, a triple, 3 home runs. He's slugging .488. Now, he still doesn't walk very much, 5 times. So the on-base percentage, .345. But that's not bad there. Starlin's hitting .305 with a .345 on-base percentage. You take that all day long, especially out of a second baseman.
Absolutely, I would.
Right.
I think, and I wanted the White Sox to go after him, but they're doing okay, I think, right now with Brett Lawrie at second.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy, though. And I'll take him all day long. But like that guy in your clubhouse every day at some point is going to
on a losing team, I think, is why he's been traded a few times. That guy on a winning team, it's okay.
We also had the question out there for you, 312-981-7200, because it's pretty clear that both teams are going to the World Series. Would you rather see an all-city World Series, or if you're a Cub fan, you just want to play a standard American League team and not the White Sox?
You want to go Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, these are key questions. I think we should, I mean, personally, on May the 1st, I'm willing to play it forward. Normally this time of the year, I got to temper down expectations.
You're saying take a chill pill.
Yeah, but like now does it not feel like it's fait accompli that the Cubs are going to be in the playoffs? Doesn't it just feel that way?
The Cubs are going to be in the playoffs.
Right?
I don't know I can say that about the White Sox yet.
I mean, for the Cubs not to make the playoffs right now, you'd have to have a heap pound of of injuries. You'd have to, Arrieta would have to go down and... Even if Arrieta went down, I still think they probably creeped their way in. Now, if you took out Arrieta and Rizzo and Bryant, okay, now we got a problem. But it would take a lot. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, when's the last time you heard his name talked about?
losing Arrieta would be a big problem.
Oh, it'd be well, if they lose Arrieta, they can't win in the playoffs.
Right. I mean, him not stepping up in the NLCS last year was like...
Right. That was the dent.
I mean, one of the biggest reasons why. I mean, I don't think it would have won anyway because they weren't hitting. The Mets pitching just shut them down. But, yeah, you need Arrieta in the playoffs.
No doubt.
Or it's over.
You need Arrieta?
It's probably over.
It'd be nice in the playoffs if John Lester could throw the ball to first base.
Does that make you nervous?
That he can't throw the ball to first base?
No, that we're just... You're so confident right now that if Arrieta were to go down with an injury tomorrow, that they would not win the World Series.
Everything makes me nervous.
You go trade for somebody.
Well, and that's the other thing. If they need a pitcher come the end of July, they got a lot of guys they can deal. I think, you know, the rosters, they'll upgrade. They're well positioned to do it. 312-981-7200. Do you want a crossed out series, or would you rather have the Cubs play a regular American League team? Because we all know they're going. First time since 1945. Joe, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Joe. Joe, do I not have the phone up? I don't. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, Joe.
Yes, as a traditional Cubs fan, I definitely want a crosstown series. I hate the White Sox, as all Cubs fans should. And this would force those wishy-washy fans who support both teams to choose sides.
Joe, have you ever in your life thought to yourself, you know what, it's wrong that I hate the White Sox to this level. I should really cut. No?
Never. Never.
Why do
never.
You hate them?
Because they're the opposite team. You have to choose sides. You have to have your team, and you have to choose sides. It's a tradition. It's a tradition, and same for Sox fans.
Okay, you hate them out of tradition. I could deal with that.
I expect Sox fans. I respect the fact that they hate Cubs fans. It's just two different sides of the coin, and you have to choose your side.
Joe, in your youth, Joe, any fist fights with any White Sox fans?
Yeah, I was raised a Cubs fan. To be honest, it was a family thing. I did go to a few White Sox games. I went to the second class night game at Old Comiskey Park, and they sold me a standing room only ticket. And everywhere I tried to stand, they told me to move. So right there, reinforced it. You know.
Okay. Well, Joe,
I'm standing here.
Joe, you're the man. Maybe we might see it.
You know what? I mean, look, I think it's silly when Cubs and White Sox fans take it to that level. But you know what? At least Joe is owning it. If Joe's going to say that he just hates the White Sox just because it's tradition, as long as he's owning that absurdity, I can respect it.
I know one man who will remain nameless, but he's part of the ownership group of one of the two teams in town.
Okay.
And when he was growing up, he got in fist fights on one circumstance, and that's when it came to Cubs Sox. Back then,
it's okay, whatever.
The guy got fist fights, Cubs White Sox. Long time ago, not today's crazy society that we live in. I'm talking about 1950s, 1960s society. Louis Aparicio. I think the fight was over whether Ernie Banks was a better fielder than Aparicio or something along those lines.
Love it.
I mean,
too bad the beat didn't exist back then to have that debate on the air.
We were marinating it back then. I mean, I remember, listen, me growing up, it was Sean Dunston versus Ozzie Guillen.
Yes.
That was a great argument because Dunston had
Ozzie.
Dunston had the better arm and Ozzie was the better fielder.
Yes. That'd be a fair way to look at it.
But there was nothing more exciting than watching Sean Dunston get a routine base hit up the middle and turn it into a double with a head first slide.
I love that kind of play.
It was the greatest. Loved him. 312-981-7200. We're playing in the World Series for you right now on 720 WGN.
I want to make sure I share this with you before the show is over. It's Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here on the beat. I should say the show's not over until 6, but we have special Blackhawks programming coming up from 5 to 6. Dave Emmett narrating the entire 2015-16 Blackhawks season for you. But there was a pitch today that Chris Sale threw to Mark Trumbo. Chris Sale's a very good pitcher. Mark Trumbo's a very good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
The ball hit Mark Trumbo in the knee.
Still swung at it?
And he swung at it.
Yeah.
I mean, The guy is just so filthy. It literally hit him in the back knee as Trumbo. It looked like, and I can't blame Trumbo. It looked like he was going right down the middle and when he started his swing. And he misses the ball, and it hits him in the knee because it had that much break on it.
Guy's been phenomenal all season long. Phenomenal.
Really good.
What's the record now? Do you have it up?
He should be 6-0 now.
And his ERA?
Yeah. Negative $5 million.
We'll get an actual ERA in once put second for you. 312-981-7200. We're planning the Cubs White Sox World Series. White Sox with the most wins in baseball. The Cubs with the best record in baseball.
166 is the ERA according to our producer Dan Long.
1.66. Downtown Danny Long all over it as per always. Steve, you're on 720 WGN. What do you got, Steve?
Guys, that gentleman Joe, he does not speak for a very large majority of Cub fans. He does not speak for us. We don't hate the Sox, okay? We may not be best of friends with their fans, but we don't hate them. And if our Cubs can't win, then I want the Sox to win it. And I got a lot of friends that are the same way. I think the difference between the average Cub fan and the average Sox fan is that there's a lot of Sox fans that will watch TV to actually root against the Cubs, and the average Cub fan doesn't care.
Wait. Steve, are you trying to claim high moral ground here? It's okay if you are.
I'm trying to tell you what, I'm 55 years old, and I've been listening and watching this all of my life, and it's getting worse and worse. But no, I'm not trying to claim high moral ground.
I'm telling you what I see. Yeah, no, see, I want to say it's maybe 50-50. I think you definitely represent the more rational fans out there that I think that's probably the correct way to look at the crosstown rivalry. But
I also go 50-50, guys. I wouldn't go 50-50.
You think there's more that
– Absolutely. I get Sox fans that come in to restaurants and lounges, et cetera, to simply – because the Sox aren't on. They're there to watch the Cubs and root against them out loud. It's crazy, and I'm like, how many Cub fans – don't get me wrong. I know a couple of jerk friends of mine that are Cubs fans that will do the same, but there's two in a handful versus the eight of the other guys. I see it way too often.
I do think that –
Cubs fans don't care. We don't. Okay, I got a guy who says, "Well, you guys don't know baseball as well as we do." Well, does that make me less of a fan? Maybe I don't know that when there's two outs and there's a guy on the first and third that he should throw the ball this way. You're right. I don't know that. He's a smarter fan. Doesn't make him a better fan.
Well, let's get Brett down to brass tacks here,
okay.
Steve. If in the World Series this year, when the Cubs are there, do you want him to play the White Sox, or would you rather?
I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. I'd love it to go to the seventh and final game, extra innings, and you know me, I'm a Cubs, and I'd love to see the Cubs win in the 10th or 11th inning.
And when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005,
I was all over it. I was rooting for him with my Sox friends. I was all over it, and I was really pushing for him because, you know what, they're a Chicago team. They're my second favorite baseball team, but I was pushing for him.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the phone call.
I don't think Joe represents a lot of Cub fans. I really don't, just so you know.
Fair enough.
Thanks for the phone call. I do think that Sox fans have more to be upset about with the Cubs than the other way around. Because they're always – and I'm not saying it's okay.
It's the old inferiority complex.
Right. I mean, they're the second team in town. And in my mind, I'm okay with that. I like that. You know, we'll just fly under the radar with the best record in freaking baseball.
Best – most wins. Best record belongs to the Cubs. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, you're right.
Higher percentage. Thank
Higher
you.
Winning percentage.
Bill, you're on 720 WGN, I think, with a different angle on the baseball talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard you guys make two comments that I just, you know, to compare Ernie Banks with Louis Aparicio defensively is absolutely ludicrous. The second one, Ozzie Guillen against Andre Dawson. Dawson was three times the player Ozzie Guillen was.
No, Sean Dunston. Sean Dunston. Hey, whoa. Sean Dunston.
Sean Dunston, not Andre Dawson.
Oh, you said Andre Dawson, though.
I did.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to it. You said Dawson.
If I said Dawson, I did not mean it. I apologize greatly. I don't think I did, but I'm going to trust that you're right, Bill, because I have once or twice made a mistake before in my life. Sean Dunston versus Ozzie. Did you
agree? Even Sean Dunston, and I'm a Sox fan, is probably a better manager than Ozzie. Ozzie was just a mediocre ball player. That's all he ever was. And he was a mediocre manager at the best.
You know they won the World Series with Ozzie, right?
Yeah, because it was the most 2005, that league, both leagues had a down year. Every player on the Sox had a career year. They had great pitching. I could have managed that club and brought them to
Bill,
the world.
Bill, didn't you just say you were a Sox fan?
Yeah, I don't like Ozzie Guillen.
Bill, Okay.
So the whole league sucked for 1 year, and the White Sox were good.
Yes, yes it did. I mean, who did they play in the World Series? Houston. Houston sucked.
Bill, just so you know, I'm getting texts in that they heard Dunston. You might have to. I got a good ear doctor for you. I could be right on this. Sean, one.
No, you did say Dunston because I responded to what you said.
You said Dunston the second time around.
Okay. Bill, I'm not gonna be able to change your opinion. But just remember, the White Sox were nosediving all of September, and they pulled themselves up. Guy in the top.
Yeah, they did. They just got in, and they just barely. Oh. And then both leagues were down there. Check it out, and you'll see.
All right.
I can't handle it.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
My head's about this.
Be nice.
You said Dawson. The Astros had Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit starting game one and game two of the World Series. They weren't a bad team. Yes, the White Sox swept them. Every single game in that series was one run. It's like the closest sweep ever in the World Series. If that's a thing, the closest sweep.
It was the most bizarre playoff run, though, of all time. They lost one game. How in the world did that happen?
It was a great run.
It was El Duque's going to come out at Fenway Park and just with the bases low, it's going to strike three guys out.
Because the whole league sucked, Mark Carmen. That's what the caller said. The whole league was bad.
I'll agree.
Every team had a down year, and the White Sox had a career year. That's the only reason why they won the World Series.
I mean, I will call it a fluke year. I'll say that. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. No break. Oh, good. Okay, really?
Well, let's promote our show next Saturday.
Okay, so we're just to remind everybody, we got a Blackhawk special coming up for you right after the 5 o'clock news, a season recap. It's awesome. I've heard parts of it. It's going to be a great listen from 5 until 6 today. But next Saturday,
one of my favorite days of the year.
We're on the road.
We are on the road, 10 feet away at House and Hood. It's right here in Tribune Tower. Great place if you haven't been there. We're going to be there from 3 to 7 o'clock next Saturday. It's our Chicago Derby party presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Again, Saturday, May 7th, this coming Saturday, and Ro Khan's going to be with us from 4 to 6. So right there, smack dab in the middle of the Derby, we're going to have Ro Khan with us. You can enjoy specialty cocktails made with Tito's Handmade Vodka, the classic mint julep, or Rose favorite, the Double Row 7.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm still not sure what that is, but I can't wait to try it. And some southern dishes on the menu as well. Make sure you dress up. Are you dressing up, Mark?
Oh, big time.
I'm going to dress up because there's prizes for best hat and the most dapper. The most dapper.
I actually need somebody to... If you could just tweet at the Carm and follow me too, because it makes me feel better about myself. Just some general outfit ideas, what a guy can do around the Derby to elevate himself, to have that presence. Because, you know, we're going to be on
light colors. Kind of think like Easter. Do you wear pink ever?
I got like a couple like white and pink dress shirts that I have rocked every once in a while. But they're not really flamboyant.
Friday for the Kentucky Oaks, pink is the color because it's the Phillies race. So breast cancer gets very, the cause for breast cancer is very involved on Friday. So you're encouraged to wear pink if you go to the Kentucky Derby, which I had my bachelor party there and we had the worst weather of all time.
You went bachelor party at the Kentucky Derby?
I did.
It's an aggressive move by you.
It was this weather we're having this weekend was the exact weather we had at the Kentucky Derby. It was freezing. It was raining. It was terrible.
You still had a good time, though, because it was your bachelor party, and you were getting married, and you were super excited
and
about your life.
We camped out in that weather.
I like that move. A little whiskey, a little fire, a little camping, a little bachelor. Right?
Whiskey probably prevented me from getting pneumonia that weekend.
See? That's what a maker's mark can do for you.
That's right. Hey, get details at WGNradio.com/events and join us May 7th for our derby party at Howls and Hood. That's this coming Saturday. Can't wait.
708's got some funny texts here. I'm a Sox fan. I'll speak for myself. I hate both of these callers. That's not nice, sir. But then he says, I take that back. And then he writes, I hate the last three callers. Give love to everybody who calls the show. We love, agree, disagree, in the middle, the whole deal. Dawson, Dunston, all that is irrelevant.